drop a line and catch some fresh fish. It's more of Go Fish with Mike Buck.
Oh, yeah, and this segment brought to you by our friends at the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, or Council, at WPCouncil.org. Okay, now you've heard me saying for the last several days, a couple weeks, in the U.S., about 90% of the seafood that we eat is imported, and about a third of that is sold by retailers and restaurants, and it may be mislabeled. Is that a problem in Hawaii? Well, you're going to learn more about that at our upcoming Fishers Forum, which we sure hope some of you are going to attend this Wednesday night. From 6 to 9 at the Harborview Center. It's free up down at Pier 38, and it's going to be a fountain of information, some of which we're going to touch upon right now. You're going to hear both national and local experts talking about some very, very important issues. Yeah, there's some information tables, some door prizes, and in other words, fun. And it's at Pier 38, and it's free. And it is, once again, part of the Western Pacific Council's 163rd meeting being held right now, June 16th to 18th here at Harborview Center. WPCouncil.org if you want to find out nuts and bolts of it. And one of the economists that is from the Pacific Island Science Fisheries Science Center is going to be with us in a minute talking about the traceability and some of the things that we're going to discuss there. But before that, I want to say hi to Sylvia Spaulding from the council, who joins us today for a couple of reasons. First of all, some very, very interesting outcomes even before the Fishers Forum have been coming up, particularly something to do with bottom fishing. Hi.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
You know, I really think this is kind of interesting because we talk about garbage in, garbage out all the time, and I think fishermen are now stepping up and realizing the value of statistics and surveys and the things that we're going to talk about. And it sets limits. And there was an announcement made this week, which we want to get into, and that was a change in what's going to be the total allowable catch for a certain bottom fish here in Hawaii. What's this all about?
Oh, okay. So the main Hawaiian islands, deep seven bottom fish, have an annual catch limit. It's in a fishery year that starts September 1st and runs to August 31st of the following year. And currently it's at 346,000 pounds. And then according to the stock assessments, the Scientific and Statistical Committee of the Council reviews that and sees what the acceptable biological catch is.
Mm-hmm.
And from that,
in other words, what can you take and still not impact the population?
Right.
What's sustaining?
Right,
mm-hmm.
So that you don't cause overfishing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the council will take that ABC, which acceptable biological catch, and then set the annual catch limit.
Mm-hmm.
So our SSC, Scientific and Statistical Committee, met this week and came up with a new ABC, which the council will look at next week, and it is lower than it was for the present
okay,
year.
Let's talk about, before we talk about the actual numbers, let's talk about the people that this affects. We all know that you go to the boat ramp and you see somebody that has like the letters BF on the side of their boat, which means bottom fishermen. Most of the fish that you're talking about are deep water bottom fish, not the kind that you get right off the back of the reef. You catch your mempachi and your kumu and stuff like that, right?
No, yeah, these are the deep seven.
Right.
These are like onago, paka, and although the annual catch limit is for the commercial fishery, the way that it's set up, the state and the federal regulations mm-hmm. have an agreement so that when the commercial catch limit is met, then the non-commercial is also closed for the year, both in state and federal waters.
Okay, now it simply means, gang, that this is an honor system, but it is enforceable. I mean, once this catch has been done, and, you know, we often have the guys from Wicked Tuna on the show that talk about when the bluefin tuna fishery stops, it's over. That's what this is, right? And where are the numbers? Where do they come from?
They come from the commercial catch reports.
Right.
Right.
So what we're really talking about is the commercial amount. But if a lot of people that are listening are part-timers, they're weekend warriors that go out and catch some. If they're lucky, they sell some. So it really affects everybody.
Right, because if the commercial fishery reaches its limit, then the non-commercial is also closed off, and that's because the non-commercial isn't required to report their catches.
How does that get disseminated, though, Sylvia? Because we talked about this before. Let's say that we reach the limit a month before the end of the term.
Uh-huh.
So the word's going to get out, right? Is it going to be first of all, they'll stop buying the fish at the market because it's kapu, right?
Right.
How does that get disseminated?
Okay,
right, on our show, and what else?
Yeah, so there's actually a website called HawaiiBottomFish.info.
There you go.
Which NOAA, Fisheries, the Council, and the State of Hawaii together maintain. Mm-hmm. And on that, they put the updates. So you can go up there and see the latest update was June 5th. So for the current ACL, on June 5th, they've reached about 80% of the ACL.
Right.
And so, yeah, so they can follow it there. Also, on our website, on our front page, we have a place called Resources for Fishermen. And if they click there, we put the updates.
Now, who is this actually enforced by?
Well, for federal waters, it's the U.S. Coast Guard.
The Coast Guard.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so they'll, based on tips, somebody will say, hey, I saw this guy out there bottom fishing, and it's closed, so what are we going to do about it?
Right. I think, we would have to double check, but I think that you can't have the possession of the bottom fish, you know, in the commerce. And at our last council meeting, they were looking at grace periods so that people can land them, mm-hmm. and that, you know, the restaurants and retailers could buy them, and they would have a grace period of a week or 10 days to sell it. But then after that, you know, it won't be in the markets.
I've kind of found it very, very interesting, and I actually like it, that a lot of our commercial fishermen, especially the bottom fishing guys who go out in pretty rough water to catch their fish, they get it. In other words, they don't feel like they're being persecuted. And what it might mean is that you just have to really think about, you know, when you go and what you catch and how much you keep and, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and another thing, and the reason why I wanted to come here is because by engaging the fishermen, they can fine-tune the models of how they come out with the stock assessments, because fishermen could talk about historic catches, highliners, weather conditions, different mm-hmm. things that can be built into the models so that it better reflects the stock.
So this new announcement that's being made right now affects this coming year, and it starts at what date?
September 1st.
Right. Okay, so it's giving everybody enough time. Now, it's probably not going to change people's habits or the times or amounts they go fish, but they are going to have to be aware that in all likelihood, sometime before the end of the period, it will be stopped based on catch.
Right. They might not change the way they fish, but hopefully they will change maybe the way that they engage with the council to help set the stock assessments and the regulations, and also in the reporting of their catch, because it's the catch data that goes into the model too. And so sometimes if you don't report your catch, it would seem like there's less fish than there are.
Yeah. Yeah. Interestingly enough, at our last Fishers Forum, there were some really interesting presentations made by these students that were compiling these numbers. And it really is amazing, right? The science that goes into this stuff and how accurate it turns out to be. Take some of the fisher people, and they make observations that agree with the studies of the stock assessments. And I think that's marvelous. We're going in the right direction.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Now, also, and we're going to talk, but let's talk about the numbers. The new numbers that got announced were a decrease from the previous year, but the previous 2 years actually was actually, much to the pleasure of the people doing the reporting, their actual fish take was increased, and so it's not always about being decreased, but this time it is.
Right. So the current year is 346,000 pounds,
right.
And then for the 2015-16 year. This is the acceptable biological catch. The ABC is 326,000 pounds, so it's a decrease of 20,000. Now, this number goes to the council that will consider social, economic, and management uncertainties.
Exactly.
And so it can change, but it can't go above it.
Mm-hmm.
So it could go lower than that, but last year the council maintain the ABC as the annual catch limit.
Which I think was pretty much agreed by. I talked to a lot of people that interact with the show and a lot of people that I see out and about, especially down at POP when they're buying their stuff to go fishing with, that it was like, all right, we're self-policing and this is what we need to do to sustain the fishery.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So I did want to say, though, if people are interested in learning more about that, we do have a Hawaii advisory panel that's meeting today by teleconference at noon. They're going to go over the action items for the council, mm-hmm. so they'll go over this. And then the council will take up this action on Wednesday. They're at Pier 38. So
yeah, I can't believe it, 163rd meeting already. Yep. That's not, we keep. When did you join the council?
See.
I mean, I'm just trying to think of it. You've been around for a lot of these meetings.
Right. I mean, I was first a contractor, like most of us were, mm-hmm. and then. Gee, I can't remember. Might be the late 90s.
That was one of my pop quiz questions. Okay, so the good news is, and if you want to do this, and more and more people are getting so, World Wide Web friendly, there are some places you can go and repeat that, that you can go and find out where the catch limit is. Go check in on it.
Okay, so the website is HawaiiBottomFish.info. Or they can also go to the council website at wpcouncil.org.
Which I prefer because it's easy. I can remember it, wpcouncil.org.
Yeah. And then on the front page, on the bottom, we have a section called Resources for Fishermen. So if they click on the, we have it there.
Okay. Now, I'm going to change gears here for a bit because, as you know, many of you know that we're very much looking forward to this Fishers Forum, which is part of the 163rd meeting of the council. There's going to be a bunch of folks there affiliated with the council and a lot of other organizations. It's once again my pleasure to be there and to be doing the moderating of this. I'm going to be introducing a panel, and then afterwards we're going to get it to where we actually have a panel discussion with questions and answers. And one of the presenters is with us in the studio today. His name is Justin Hospital. He's an economist with the Pacific Island Fisheries Science Center. And we're going to talk about fish flow and traceability. This does not mean that we're going to go down a canal and watching the flow of fish. So we're going to watch the flow of fish as it's reported from an economic standpoint. And first, Justin, thanks for hanging out with us and being here today.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me.
Nice to meet you. You know, I'm not sure that a lot of people listening to the show realize what an important part of the economy fishing is. In other words, here you are an economist, and I'm sure you can blow that horn a little bit of time. This stuff is pretty doggone important, particularly some of the things we're going to be discussing on Wednesday.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. I think everyone that's listening has a stake in our fisheries here in mm-hmm. Hawaii. Just if you want to talk some numbers, in 2011, there was about 31 million pounds of pelagic fish landed in the state of Hawaii, valued at about $88 million.
Okay, now if you take out 31 million, right? There's a million of us. That was a lot, 30 each. Right?
It is.
I mean, that's a lot. So, but I mean, it also tells you what an important part and growing part of our economy it is. A lot of people are not aware of this, like you are, when you talk about this traceability, how much of our pelagic fish gets caught here and enjoyed in other places.
Exactly. So a majority, if you come to the Fishers Forum, which I would highly recommend, you'll learn all about this. But if you come, you'll learn that a large majority of the fish does stay in Hawaii, while some of it is shipped to U.S. mainland.
Yeah, and then, I think it's like 90, and we're consuming like 90% or something.
Exactly, and then a portion goes to the U.S. mainland so that folks there can enjoy our delicious fish, and then a small portion is sent out to foreign markets to take it. The tuna fish here in Hawaii is part of a global market, so there's demand everywhere.
You know, that being said, let's put the economic hat on for a minute, because when you talk about what your specialty is, what this traceability, if you will, I'm guessing that most of this is gleaned from the numbers that happen at the United Fishing Agency, because this is where the commercial fish comes in and where we can really keep an eye on it. Are we monitoring our fish here better than in other places?
Well, we have a lot of safeguards here in Hawaii that are not necessarily present in other areas where fish come from. If we're not consuming local fish, we are getting it from somewhere else, and they are not subject to the same management regulations, the same monitoring, the same reporting requirements. So it's important to consider that.
But, you know, here local people, hey, it's local, it's fresh, and we know that. So we're kind of proud of it. I say that the most successful fishing trip is when you throw away some ice. That means that you had enough, right? And isn't that all about it? I mean, right now we're worried about these conditions. I'm thinking that people, we have to blow our own horn a little bit from time to time, Justin, and that is to say, hey, look, our fishermen, they want the top dollar for their fish, so they take care of it a little bit better than it does in some other places.
Right, and they're afforded the opportunity through the auction. The auction does allow for quality to be rewarded.
Yeah.
It's an open, competitive bidding process, and when you bring in a fish that's high quality and fresh, you will be rewarded with a higher price.
You know, I think programs like the reality show, like the Wicked Tuna and some of the others, have shown when you go go to the auction and you see these row of big eye or ahi or whatever, and you see the core samples, now we kind of get it. This is important stuff.
Right, yeah. And what I'm going to be talking about is going to be really interesting for individuals who want to know, well, how does the fish get from the ocean to my mouth,
yeah,
so
exactly.
to speak?
And what circuitous route does it take to my plate, right?
Right, exactly, yeah. And that's exactly what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be presenting some research from some colleagues of mine that did some really important work down at the auction, talking with buyers, distributors, wholesalers, and I'm really going to be talking, I'll be explaining about really how does the fish wander its way through the distribution channels, and what are the safety guards put in place, and how can we trace fish from an individual vessel to your mouth.
Talk a little bit about the Pacific Island Fishery Science Center. What comprises of it? What's its mission?
Yeah, so its mission is to support conduct research to support NOAA's missions of sustainable fisheries, habitat conservation, and conserving protected species,
yeah,
resources.
You know, we often talk on this segment of my Go Fish program about the bottoms up organization of the council is. In other words, and in many respects, what you are doing here at the local level goes back to NOAA, and it really is part of the decision-making process of what regulates and what sort of manages the fishery.
Right, and we do research that we, at least we hope, supports the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council and making their decisions. So it's very important.
Talk a little bit about the traceability. Let's make sure that people understand what that is. We can pretty much say, in some cases, where a fish came from.
Well, you know, if you go down to the auction, and if anyone's been down there and seen how the auction works, every fish that is sold, it specifically says which vessel caught that fish.
It's got that little UPC, barcode on it, and we know where that fish is and where it's going.
Right, and a lot of the buyers and wholesalers here in the state of Hawaii have begun to adopt traceability through barcode technology such that, you know, I think it's a big concern nationally from consumers and food safety, and we've adopted that here in Hawaii, and that, you know, if there's issues with a fish, they can trace it back to where it came from. And
yeah, I know the buyers often get told by, the brokers often get told by their buyers, what have you done for me lately? In other words, you got to really stay on top of it. And this is why, and I don't know if you all look at this, but I do know that, say, for fish that's going to get consumed locally, a lot of times you see the chefs or their buyers or their brokers, they're down there and they're picking it out fish by fish. But when, let's say if it's a restaurant, say in California, that's buying some yellowfin tuna, there's got to be a lot of trust and a lot of relationships. Because if I say that I'm sending you a nice fish and you call your great clients up to come and eat dinner and the fish isn't nice, everybody's unhappy.
Right, and you're going to learn about that at the Fishers Forum as well, because you're going to learn about some differences in the monitoring requirements and the reporting requirements, and how fish maybe from Hawaii that goes to the U.S. mainland, how there's information attached to that that may not necessarily be attached to fish coming in from foreign
places. Which means let's make sure that people understand, and I'm sure this is going to come up at least in our discussions at the forum, that quite often, if a fish comes from outside of Hawaii, you really have to develop a trust as to where that fish came from, who caught it, and how they treated it. Some of these things we don't know.
Many of them we don't
know. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that means, I think that maybe why some people say, well, that's the price you pay to live in paradise. Do you hear sometimes in the work that you do that there are sometimes locals that say, hey, how come we got to pay so much for this fish when we can get this fish that's the same and it's cheaper?
Well, that's the concern. I think that's the concern from the market side, from both consumers and from buyers and wholesalers, is that, yes, the imported fish is cheaper, but, you know, there's no assurances of the quality, or we don't know the methods by which that fish was caught. We don't know the regulatory. We don't know if that fish was even reported. And so there are those trade-offs that are important.
I think, you know, you mentioned the United Fish Agency auction. Almost everybody's done it. And back in the day, I've taken literally thousands of people through there on tours. You know, you have to go through like a sheep dip. You know, you got to rinse your feet off with the disinfectant. And if you're sick, you don't want to be in the building. And it's just a pretty controlled environment. I think, isn't that where the confidence comes in? So you pay a little bit more for the fish, but you kind of know why.
Yeah, you know, and the Honolulu Fish Auction deals in very high quality, fresh fish. And, you know, when something's been coming in from a different country, it's often been frozen, it's often been treated with carbon monoxide and other things to retain.
We get these colors that are like, wow, how can it be that colorful, you know?
Right.
Yeah, a little fish oil here and there. What when you talk about the mission of the Science Center and you talk about that, what are some of the things that people are surprised at? Some of the things that you've come up with that they realize, wow, I didn't realize this. That's why we want people to come to the Fisher's Forum to see all the science that goes into that.
Well, I'll support our group. I'm within the Pacific Island Fisheries Science Socioeconomics Program. Mm-hmm. So we have economists and we have social scientists that do human dimensions research. And I think that is often people don't really think about the human side, the social side of fishing and regulations and impacts to communities. And most of our research focuses on that. And I think anything that we produce, people are usually kind of like, wow, that's, I never thought about that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree because I think that people are way more health conscious than we used to be because, well, science is keeping us alive a little longer and we're finding out what's good for us and what's not so good for us. And more people are saying, well, you know, every now and again, some story comes out in the fishery. Well, this fish is no good. This is no good. This has got too much mercury in it. There's a lot of science, right? Mm-hmm. But it also is tied to the economy. What is the economics of buying that fish?
Yeah, it's tied to the economy. It's tied to cultural uses and social importance of fish here in the state of Hawaii in the Western Pacific.
Okay, you know what I want to do is I want to make people understand what's going on. We have this panel that's coming up Wednesday night at 7. It's 6 o'clock you come in, and about 7 we're going to start the program running. And what we're going to talk about is the illegal, unreported, unregulated fisheries and seafood fraud, which just came up in the paper about a week ago. What do you know about some of the other people that are going to be on the panel? What interrelationships have you had, or maybe even Sylvia? Come back to you and talk about some of the folks that are going to be on this panel and the wide scope of expertise that they're bringing.
Right. Yeah. So we actually have the pleasure of having John Hendersheet on our panel, and he is from Washington D.C. from the Office of International Affairs and Seafood Inspection, and so his office addresses international fisheries and sustainable seafood issues, engaging science, policy, and commerce. And he's actually going to be coming here from Japan, so we're lucky
that it's neat that he's actually here for the meetings. But the public get a shot at him on Wednesday, you know, to hear from what he has to say.
And so also then we have Justin, who will be focusing on the Hawaii fishery, and then we have Donald Hahn, who used to work with PIFSC, but now he's a private consultant, and he will talk more about the foreign fish flow.
Which is cool, because that's the portion of fish that we bring in. People are sometimes amazed that we don't feed ourselves 100%, that we bring in a lot of fish. A lot of seafood gets imported to Hawaii.
Right. Yeah. In Hawaii, we're lucky that we have a lower percent than the U.S. does is imported. Because in the U.S., 90% of the seafood, 90%.
That's why they had the alarm go up on some of the things that are bringing to this meeting. There is problems of things being mislabeled, and some of it is plain dishonest. I mean, some of it really has to be monitored a little bit better.
And there's one other person, Peter Oshiro from the Hawaii Department of Health, and he will talk a little bit about how Hawaii, they do handle the traceability and health issues here in Hawaii with fish.
Yeah, and so that's and that's going to be about an hour or so, and then we're going to have a panel discussion, which is always so. Bring the questions, and this is free, just so that people understand. Sylvia, this Fisher Forum is put on as part of the mission of the council.
Right.
You know.
So we have the council meeting going on at the same location the same week, but we realize that some people cannot take time off during the work hours to come down to the meeting. So we always hold a Fisher's Forum in the evening
to try to bring them. By the way.
Right. And also, just to let you know, so for that hour before the panel comes on, we have exhibitors from the Hawaii Aquaculture Aquaponics Association, the Marine Recreational Fishing Survey, the Department of Health, Conservation International, local IA Community Supported Fishery, Pacific Islands Fishery Group, the Coast Guard, and the Council. So there will be info tables and some other things that people can enjoy while they're...
You know, I've done the last several of these, and the group that usually shows up is a pretty eclectic group, but I think because of the subject matter this time, a broader section of this audience will be able to have a takeaway. And so obviously, and I'll ask the same thing. Let me go back to Justin Hospital for a minute, because it must be kind of neat when you get to expand on what you all do and know that it it's appreciated and for why. So that must mean that you were going to, the base, you know, novice person is going to be able to glean and get something out of this.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for us because we do a lot of our research. We present a lot of it at academic conferences, yeah. at council meetings, that really there's a select group. But to get the opportunity to talk to the general population, yeah. to the community, to fishermen, I think that's a more satisfying part for me to share my research with them, because oftentimes they're the ones who are contributing to the research.
Or become dependent on the information. But I think that it really goes to say what I was talking with Sylvie about before. And I talk about this on this segment of my Go Fish program all the time. The council, by mandate, I don't think necessarily have to be bottom up, but that's the way it's turned out to be. And now it's expected. The fishing community that shows up, they expect that they're going to be listened to, not just lectured at. This is why this is going to be hopefully an EQ&A afterwards.
I hope so, and I hope everyone comes out, and I hope they bring some tough questions.
Yeah, you and me both. So, Sylvia and Justin, nice meeting you, and I look forward to introducing you on Wednesday night and also steering a few questions your way in our Q&A period afterwards. Sylvia, to make sure that people understand, how much does it cost to come?
It's free, and we give away door prizes, too.
Stuff. We got good stuff. Yeah. We want to thank people like POP Fishing, Hanapa, and some other people's Nikos. Who else? We got a lot of stuff we're going to give away.
The Hawaii Marine Recreational Fishing Survey, the Pacific Islands Fishing Group, University of Hawaii Press, and the council will all be donating prizes.
Yeah, so in other words, a fun time had by all. Once again, thanks to Justin Hospital and Sylvia. Thank you. See you again soon. And thanks for listening. Remember, if you want to hear something on the program, it's pretty easy. Drop me a line. Best way is to email me, themikebuckshow@aol.com. Themikebuckshow@aol.com. Next week is the Ahi Fever tournament. The spinner shootout, which is in place of the Ahi Fever. We want to thank Victor Lozano for joining us today as well. See you next time. Have a great time fishing. Keep those lines tight. Get some big fish. But watch out. Be safe.